Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is a Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 158.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, who lives in San Diego and has never been to Comic-Con, Pat Flynn.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. Indeed works fast, like really fast. In fact, by the time this ad's over, 23 hires will have been made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Look, hiring's hard enough, so don't make it harder on yourself. Indeed makes it so easy to manage it all in one place, from initial screenings to messagings, interviewing candidates. You can do it all right from Indeed with no extra apps involved. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now. Support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 158 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Today, I have a special guest on who is bringing something a little bit different to the show because we often have experts on the show who talk about how to
build your online business from scratch, or how to create an awesome product, or things like that. And those are really helpful episodes. However, there's a certain segment of the audience that often seems to be left out, or feel like they're left out at least. And these are the people who are freelancers, who work by the hour and who are paid by the hour, who owe nothing more than their time, who often feel like they're stuck working with clients, you know, and as soon as they stop working, they stop making money. And that's not very passive income, is it? So I'm really excited to introduce to you Brian Castle from CasJam, CasJam.com. He has a product out there called Productize. And I've actually started working with Brian over on foodtrucker.com because he has a business called RestaurantEngine.com. And I worked with him because he's helping restaurant owners and food truck owners create websites. And often when you think about creating websites for food truck owners, you might think, well, you're going to have to work with each individual restaurant or food truck owner and really kind of just figure out what exactly their needs are. But Brian's taken that to the next level and he's productized his service. And that's what his product is called. It's called Productize. It's helping you, the freelancer, the person who's getting billed by the hour, take the path of least resistance and create a productized service, which from your customer's perspective, offers a specialized done-for-you solution with a compelling value. They know what they're going to get when they're going into it, and it's packaged at a set price and scope. And from your perspective, the founder or the product owner or the freelancer at this point, a productized service is one that runs systematically, and it continues to produce and grow with or without your direct involvement. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will, because this is going to be a really special episode, again, something much different than what we normally hear in terms of building an online business. This could be something that can really save you in terms of the time that you spend and also how you work with clients, because I know how often that can really be a headache for people. So this is the alternative to billing by the hour. So here we go. Let's get right into it. This is Building a Productized Service with Brian Castle. What's up, Brian? Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. How are you, man?
Hey, Pat. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this is going to be great. I think this is a much needed conversation that we're going to have, because why don't you tell everybody really quick kind of all the good stuff we're going to get into. Like, what is your specialty? What is your superpower online?
Well, you know, lately in these last few months, I've been talking a lot and teaching this idea of productized services. So really moving from the freelance model, billing by the hour, to a productized version of that, and really kind of positioning your services as a freelancer or a consultant as a product. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes along with that, mm-hmm. And really positioning it as a product and marketing it as a product, and a lot of benefits that come with that. So that's really what I've been kind of focused on lately.
Oh, man, this is so good, because, I mean, this is what passive income is all about, you know, taking something that you know and turning it into something that can then work passively for you. Because obviously, if you're a freelancer, I mean, you got to put in that time to make that money, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest, you know, challenge that I see freelancers facing. And I've certainly faced this myself for many years, is that, you know, your income is directly tied to your time, especially when you're billing by the hour. I mean, I actually used to bill per project. I come from a background as a freelance web designer. Mm. And, you know, I used to kind of build per project and occasionally by the hour, but either way, you know, it was still very much tied to my time. Like I could only fit in a certain number of projects and I was basically living like project to project throughout the year. But then I was able to, you know, launch a productized service business, which, you know, over time with a lot of work and refinement and iteration, I've been able to, you know, really completely systematize this business so that it does run itself. I've delegated and really, you know, streamlined the entire process, and I've removed myself from all the day to day so that this business, you know, runs and grows essentially without me.
That's so cool. Now, why don't we rewind and go back to your story? I mean, were you before you started freelancing? Like, what were you doing before then?
Yeah, so I started out. Well, actually, before all that, I was actually doing music stuff, like music composition and production.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah, for a little while, I like went to school for that. And then, but, you know, shortly after school, I actually got into the web industry. I had been dabbling in it before, but then I got into it professionally and started working at a web design agency in New York. I was there for about 3 years or so. And then I went out on my own as a freelance web designer. Did that for... Well, I've been self-employed now for about 7 or 8 years. And about 4 years ago, I really started making that shift away from just straight freelance web design into building products. And I did a few different things, like selling WordPress themes and other, you know, little products here and there, and ebooks and whatnot. But then the thing that I really kind of sunk my teeth into for a couple of years was Restaurant Engine, which is a productized service business. Essentially, we do web design for restaurants and food trucks. And then we eventually branched out and made one for hotels and B&Bs. That's at hotelpropeller.com. You know, so over the course of 3 or 4 years of building up that business, essentially it's a SaaS, software as a service business, with a productized service component where we, you know, onboard every new customer and set up their site and give them ongoing support and hosting and all that. Along the way, I've really focused heavily on the systems and streamlining the entire process and forming a small team so that every step in that process of bringing on new customers every week is completely handled. And then I'm actually now free to focus on the bigger picture, whether that's developing new products or, you know, growing the business, focusing on marketing, or, you know, from time to time, actually take a vacation with my family, you know, without having to worry about, well, I'm not getting paid this week and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay. So this isn't about, you know, when you're a freelancer, if you're just starting out, this isn't about creating products. This isn't creating, you know, ebooks or things like that. And this isn't creating information for your audience so that they can do these things themselves, right? You still are providing a service. You personally just aren't the one taking care of it.
Yeah. And I think that there are definitely a lot of different directions that you can go with this. So, you know, productized services, often, you know, otherwise called productized consulting. You can kind of like scale it up and with that focus on delegation and having the business run itself. And I've got plenty of really great examples. You know, one, I think your listeners probably know Dan Norris from WP Curve is a great example of a productized service that runs on a very large scale at this point. They've been growing, you know, rapidly over the last year. But, you know, you can also kind of go the other way and stay focused and stay small. I know a lot of consultants who've gotten into productized consulting where they chose to stay solo or maybe with one assistant or whatnot. So, and that allows them to focus on what they truly want to be focusing on. Like maybe that's their core craft, you know, being creative and kind of streamlining or outsourcing just the more mundane, tedious, you know, day-to-day stuff.
Yeah. And Dan, for everybody out there, he's been on the podcast before, Dan from WP Curve. That was episode 134. So smartpassiveincome.com/session134. Currently, there are 732 comments on that post. So he brought some good stuff, and his company is doing an amazing job. And I really resonate with what he's done. And they are doing something that is a service for people who have WordPress sites, and they are growing at a very, very high rate and are doing really, really well. So how do we know, like, there's a lot of listeners out there listening right now, of course, and how can a person understand if productizing their services for them?
Yeah, you know, I think if you kind of resonate with a lot of these challenges, like I talked about, you know, that your income is really tied to your time. You know, another one that really struck home for me, which was a big reason why I decided to get into products and looking to productize the service, was the negotiation or the discovery process. You know, those long drawn out meetings and phone calls that happen before the contract is even signed for a new project, right? So you have to get into these meetings and you have to figure out the scope of a new project and get all the client's requirements and see what their goals are and then just unpack all that stuff so I would then go back and write a really long proposal. I'd spend a day on that, you know, at least. And then I'd go back and present the proposal, and maybe 50-50, you know, 50% of the time I would win that contract and the other times not. So essentially every time I'm like reinventing what I do or reinventing the value for each individual client, I kind of wanted to move away from that and get into a more standardized, predictable service, you know, essentially a productized service that just does one thing extremely well, solves one problem exceptionally well, and then, you know, it's really designed for one particular client. And that just removes that whole discovery negotiation from the table so that I can just focus on providing a great service and kind of leave it at that. So I'd say if anyone kind of resonates with these kind of, you know, challenges, then I think it's certainly worth looking at this as a potential option. And, you know, the other thing that really makes me excited about productized services in general is there's a lot of focus these days on making that leap from freelancing and billing by the hour into creating some kind of product, whether that's a course, an ebook, or software, or an app. And for many people, that is a huge leap to make.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, we've had people talk about coursework before, David Sedgwick Garland and Amy Porterfield, those back-to-back episodes. I mean, those people love those episodes, but you're right. Some people who are just starting out, they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with going that route. And I think it's a fantastic thing to strive for. I kind of look at productized services as a bridge between those two, like the path of least resistance, I like to call it. You know, you can really launch a productized service very quickly. I mean, going back to what Dan did with WP Curve, I think he launched that in, less than 7 days. You know, he literally just kind of put the offer out there and he had paying customers within a week. And of course, a lot more goes into that and figuring out the right value proposition and whatnot. But, a productized service lets you kind of start to make that transition away from billing by the hour into thinking more like a business owner and transitioning into that product mindset.
Love it. Love it. And you had mentioned about this whole focusing on one thing and doing it really well. I mean, I feel like that's a theme that has come up in multiple episodes, just focusing on one thing. You know, Gary Keller and Jay Papasan's book, The One Thing. I mean, it's so important. This is a great way to sort of take that and actually use it and go with it. If you are a freelancer just starting out, being really good at that one thing, it doesn't sound like that's the path to do when you're just starting out. You kind of want to serve everybody, you want to try everything. But when you're good at one thing, people will go to you for that particular solution. And Restaurant Engine is a great one. I mean, that's how Brian and I connected, was through Restaurant Engine and Food Trucker.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's been an amazing experience for all the food truck owners out there who have used the service. So why don't we get into more specific strategies and things that people can take away from this episode in terms of, okay, how do they go about doing this? I mean, it's a great theory, I guess you could say, if you want to call it that. But how do we actually put this into action, Brian?
Yeah, great question. Like you said, it does start with focus. As you start to productize what you're doing, it really begins with crafting that killer value proposition. And the key to doing that is focus. And what I mean by that is you want to be focusing in on one service for one customer. And another way of putting that, perhaps a better way of putting that, would be to focus on one problem and one solution. You kind of want to get away from doing everything and anything. And I really relate to this myself. I mean, when I was doing freelance web design, I used to do it all, right? I used to design mockups, code HTML and CSS, create WordPress themes, plugins, got into logo design and copywriting and mobile sites and email. The list went on and on. I was doing everything for all these different clients. And it was just really hard to focus that value proposition. So your goal is to really hone in on one service for one customer. And there's a lot more that goes into this process that I like to teach. For instance, as you start to focus on one service, you really want to focus in on one thing that clients are willing to pay for. And for a lot of us, we can look to what our clients have already been paying us for. Chances are they're paying us for a lot of different things, but you want to start looking at that list of services that clients have paid you for and try to hone in on what are the most high value items. Perhaps they're actual line items on your invoices that clients come to you again and again for. Or another way that I like to look at it is, think back to those conversations that you're having with clients, and whether they are those discovery meetings or pre-sales conversations. Mm-hmm. What are the questions that keep coming up again and again? Those are good indicators that that's something that the clients really care about. They might even be like make or break items that, that just gives you that indication that it's something high value for those clients.
Sure, sure. Let's play a little game. Let's pretend my name is Pat and I am a freelance writer. Like, coach me through how to figure out what my one thing will be. Can we do that really quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I freelance, right? I have a lot of different clients. I do a lot of different things, from ghostwriting to writing blog articles to doing research and posting on people's blogs and editing and all that, all those sorts of things?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing that I would look at is, you know, try to think or just look into the type of work that you've been doing with your clients and figure out what part of all that, whether it's the research aspect, the actual writing of the articles, the formatting and promoting and social media, you know, promotion of the articles. Mm-hmm. What is that one thing that clients come to you because they can't do it themselves or they don't want to do it themselves?
Sure. You know, I've also been doing a lot of transcripts and, you know, with podcasting becoming more popular and people doing their videos and with SEO, with the transcripts, if you include those with the videos, a lot of people are asking me to do transcriptions now and I do those all myself currently.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that is a great example. And you know, we're starting to get toward the value proposition here and that, you know, writing these transcripts takes a lot of your time.
Right.
And, you know, as the business owner, you have better things to do. You kind of want to just focus on creating the content, you know, whether that's just recording and you know, putting the content up in Dropbox and then having you or a service like yours, you know, be the transcription service for that podcast.
So that's a great, so I'm still playing Pat, the person who writes and is now thinking about doing something with transcriptions. So Brian, you're telling me, okay, transcriptions seems like it's a good thing. I could be, you know, just do, that could be my one thing, right? And then how would I make that a productized service? If that's something I'm currently doing myself and, you know, I'm pretty good at it. I mean, that's why I'm doing it. How do I then use kind of what you teach to take myself away from that?
Yeah. So, you know, the next steps, you know, you really want to start to streamline and standardize this service.
Nice.
I actually have this in like a three-step process here. And it really starts, like I said, with standardization. And that means, what I mean by that is making the work as predictable as possible, because we all know that there are many different ways to accomplish the same task. You know, if it's transcription writing, you know, you might write it in Microsoft Word or Google Docs or mm-hmm. in Word or directly into WordPress or, you know, whatever you're using to write. I would suggest starting to really standardize the way that you do things. Just always use one template or one methodology, whether that's a set of tools or, you know, a certain approach. You know, for me, when I was doing web design and then starting to standardize that, I started to focus exclusively on using WordPress. And then even beyond that, I started to focus exclusively on responsive web design, you know, mobile optimizing, using responsive web design, and then using one software, you know, one set of software for doing that. Mm-hmm. And what that does is, you know, you as a solo consultant, you know, maybe you already have your preferred set of tools and that's great, but you really want to make this as predictable as possible so that down the road, when you do start to delegate, it's just done in a very predictable way so that you can, to your first teammate, you can, you know, get this into a standardized process. And then even if that person is replaced or if there's a second person comes on board, you know, everything is just done the same way and it keeps it very organized.
Yeah.
So that's really the first step is standardization. And then from there, we want to really streamline the way that we do things, whether that's using templates or incorporating some software tools to make things go faster, or relying on one standard framework. Perhaps, like, so going back to your example of transcribing, maybe rather than writing it all from scratch, from a completely blank page, maybe we start every transcription with a standard template that already has the formatting built in. And all we need to do is kind of like swap in the new content.
Mm-hmm.
The third phase, the third step here would be document. And this is something that just goes, it really never ends. It's an ongoing process throughout the life of the business. You want to document everything, document things into procedures. And that means literally write down lists of the things that you're doing step by step. You know, start simple, just a quick kind of bullet list of the overview of, you know, step one, open up the Google Doc. Step two, start to, you know, transcribe the podcast episode. Later on, as you start to do it again and again, you can go back and refine that procedure, add more detail, start to include screenshots and notations and whatnot. And just continuously improve that documentation so that, again, it makes it that much easier to hand off to someone down the road.
Yeah, to a point where you want to get to a point where, I mean, if a monkey could read, they would be able to do it, right? It's like you want it to be that detailed and that, okay, this is this, and then this. Like, you want it to be that narrow and detailed, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The way that I like to think about this and approach it is you want to put so much care and effort into these procedures because your goal ultimately at the end of the day is to have your teammate be a total rock star at their job. Like, you want them to, you want to position your teammates for the highest level of success possible. You want to make their jobs really easy. So your job as the business owner is to do that, is to make it easy by giving them all the instruction in the world. Because I think all of us can relate, you know, if we ever started a new job and we just weren't sure what we were doing, you know, weren't sure how to use the certain, the tools or where to start. Mm-hmm. It's just really frustrating. And it's kind of intimidating. We want to remove all that friction and just make it really easy for our team. And of course, they're going to have questions and you want to refine those. And as they do have questions or as they do make a mistake or two, those are indications that, all right, something is wrong in the procedure and you need to go back and refine and kind of smooth out those kinks.
Nice, nice. And in terms of the documentation of those processes and how you've been able to optimize and streamline everything that you do before you hand it off, do you have any specific tools or recommendations for how to best do that? Is it just simply a Google Doc or would it be something else perhaps?
So we use Google Docs today. I found that those are the easiest to share and collaborate with mm-hmm. my team. So we use Google Documents for the actual procedures themselves. And then we actually use a Google spreadsheet to organize all of our procedures. Because today in Restaurant Engine, we have something like 50 or 60 different procedures, mm-hmm. maybe even more than that now. So, you know, we really needed to like categorize them and put them into folders and keep them all organized. Sure. And then I just give my teammates access to that entire folder of procedures and then they can go in. It's even gotten to the point now where they go in and they're the ones updating the procedures and keeping them up to date. Because now that they're doing the work on a day-to-day basis, they're, you know, they're closer to the tasks than I am. They know the processes even better than I do at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly asking them to make those procedures. Other tools. So I used to work with a team on a tool called Suite Process. That was also, you know, very effective for this.
Is that like a project management tool or?
It's actually an app specifically made for documenting procedures.
Oh, sweet. Yep. What is that called? Suite Process?
Yeah, that's at sweetprocess.com.
Nice.
So that's very good. We also use, we have an internal FAQ, which we're actually using WordPress for this. And we found a WordPress theme that's kind of built to be a knowledge base. And that gives us like an internal collection of common customer requests or requests from leads. That's where we document everything. There are other tools like Help Scout that we use that also has a really effective kind of FAQ knowledge base tools that can be really helpful for this.
We use Help Scout for Smart Podcast Player. And there's other ones out there. Rhino Support, I think, is another one. And Zendesk, they all have that. FAQ capability, I think. But Suite Process, that's a new one. Mindy, in episode 153, when she came on, she talked about something that she uses for checkboxes specifically and tasks, a tool called TickTick. And that's just a really nice way to organize sort of the steps that need to be done. So every time, for example, edits an episode of Ask Pat, she brings up this checklist on TickTick and she just goes line by line. And then, you know, you might think, well, why are these things important if they're doing it all the time? I mean, they don't necessarily need to check them off. But what it does is it forces Mindy to look at this list and not have to think about what needs to be done. It's always there and it's always going to be the same. And if somebody else were to come on and edit the show for me, they could do it really easily just by looking at those checklists and, you know, the whole procedure list. So I'm 100% on board in terms of making sure these things are documented and standardized and processed in that way. And I think the big question is, okay, if I get to a point in my hypothetical transcription potential productized service, you know, I get these sequences down, you know, as far as how customers come in, what we do and templates and all those things, then it's like, okay, for it to really be up to a point where it's not me doing it anymore, I need to find, you know, other people. And I think a big question is, okay, Brian, what's the best way to go and do that? How can we find the perfect fit for building our team? Is that the next step, or am I skipping ahead a little?
Yeah, I mean, that can certainly be the next step. You know, again, it kind of depends on what you want to do. You know, you might not necessarily want to grow a large team, but if you do want to go that route, there are, you know, a couple different ways that you can go about it. And it really also depends on the type of support that you need or the type of teammates that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So in my business, Restaurant Engine, I've hired a few people to handle customer support and website work for our customers. I primarily found them on Odesk, and I've kind of like managed them through Odesk. And mm-hmm. I do teach a whole process for, you know, optimizing your job ad and kind of organizing candidates.
It's really important to do diligence when you're hiring somebody. I've used Odesk before very successfully. I've used Elance very successfully. I've also used each of those platforms terribly by rushing into things. So I think it's great that you're teaching that too.
Yeah, and I do think there's a lot of trial and error, and with those, I mean, I've certainly had challenges and successes on those platforms for sure. I've had some of my teammates I've been with almost 3 years now, and others, you know, just started and didn't work out. I mean, it happens, but yeah, there are things that you can look out for to really make the process work for you, and kind of have a multi-level. Application and review and interview process. So like starting with just the way that they email and respond to the ad, mm-hmm. and kind of evaluating how they answer questions and how fast they reply and whatnot. And then getting into, I like to do a video chat at least once, even when, you know, my team is overseas or across the country somewhere. Even though like on a day-to-day basis at work, we don't really use video chats all that much. We're mostly communicating in Slack and email and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I still like to have that face-to-face at least early on to meet new teammates. The other thing that I would mention is sometimes you need to hire for specialized roles. So like another thing that we've done is I have a writing team who, you know, it really started with one writer and now it's like kind of a team of writers who just manage our blog for Restaurant Engine. And so for that, I went to a specialized job board. I think I found them on the problogger.net. job board. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, they're very industry specific or like field specific job boards out there.
Yep.
So that would be one example if you're specifically looking to hire writers or bloggers, hiring developers, you know, you would look to places like Authentic Jobs or Odesk and Elance. Or if you're looking specifically for someone in WordPress, there are other job boards for that as well. So
cool. Now, I mean, this last question I asked was about, you know, adding more people to the team, but you had said that you don't necessarily need to do that and you could still have a productized service. So a productized service doesn't necessarily have to mean you have a whole team. It could just be you are standardizing these things. And I think the big part and the thing that just clicked for me is the idea that you are just focusing on this one thing like we talked about earlier. That's what makes it a productized service, because that's a product essentially that people can buy from you and they kind of know what they're going to get before you start working with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I like to talk about a lot of these case studies that I've done interviews with and research with, and there are plenty of these productized consulting offers out there. You know,
can you give us some examples, like so we can?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Nick DiSabato is fairly well known now for creating his service called Draft Revise, and I believe today it's still just him. And basically, what he does is he just runs one A/B test on your website to increase conversions. So he'll propose an A/B test to run on your website, and then he'll implement it. And then taking the higher test, or you know, the more successful result, he'll then implement that on your website. And he just does that once a month. And then the next month he'll run another A/B test and then another one.
That's so cool.
and it's just it's like a monthly retainer service, a very standardized scope. And you know, he makes a great living at it. He loves what he does. He gets to focus on the thing that he loves doing. You know, that's a great example. Philip Morgan, going back to the writing example. So Philip Morgan runs a service called My Content Sherpa, and he focuses on technical firms and agencies. And he will write, I believe it's four in-depth, well-researched articles per month for your blog for your agency's website. He'll write it and then he'll help with promotion. And that's just a standardized package, set scope, and just, you know, kind of runs on a retainer model.
That's cool. So is the retainer model, I mean, we can get it, let's get into the marketing and sales and pricing of a standardized product or service now. Is it typically a monthly retainer that is kind of what we're looking at here?
That is typical, you know, and that's very attractive because you have the ongoing recurring and the predictability of income, you know, kind of gets us away from that feast and famine cycle that most freelancers face. But there are alternatives. You know, I also look at what Jared Drysdale has done. He launched a site called landingpageinaday.com, right? Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what it sounds like. He'll design a landing page and he'll write the copy for it, one landing page, and he does it all in one day. You just go on his site and you purchase your one day. It's like a one-time purchase, and then it goes into a form and you schedule your day in his calendar, and then they kind of fit you in. I think he's actually had, you know, more than enough demand at this point that I think they closed it down and he has a waiting list, but
that's cool.
You know, it just goes to show. And again, that's one of those things that I believe he launched it in a weekend. Like he just kind of put up his own landing page for the service, sent it out to a few people in his networks, and he had something like, I think he had 7 paying clients in a week. You know, so it's just very focused, does one thing extremely well, solves one problem, and it really works out.
That's really cool. I'm just thinking out loud here, but okay, what if there was a service that I could pay every month, for example, an X amount of dollars, and they would have all the show notes done for all of my podcasts? Now, obviously, I have a team that does that for me already, but, you know, I'm pretty sure something like that could work out really well because, you know, I'm just thinking of things that are hot items right now, and podcasting is obviously one of them. So, you know, podcast editing to the show notes to even just pulling out the links from a transcription to have those be clickable. You know, there's all these little things that, you know, I can imagine people paying for a small monthly fee. It's definitely worth people's money to save that kind of time for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, speaking of podcasting, so I co-host a podcast called Bootstrapped Web with my friend Jordan Gall. And actually, we're now bringing on an editor who's starting to offer his own productized service as a podcast editing service. So we're actually just phasing this in right now. But
very cool.
So that's Craig at podcastmotor.com. And I've seen a few of these pop up that like podcast editing as a service. Mm-hmm. Great, great example of a productized service. I've been thinking that someone should do this for a long time, and I'm glad, you know, a few people are doing it. Basically we're now recording our weekly episodes and dropping our recordings in Dropbox, and Craig and his service, his system, basically just takes them from there, and then he'll go and edit them and put them up in our WordPress site and set everything up for us.
That's really cool. I have a person who edits my show who works with me, but he also does this for other people too. If you go to my resource page, smartpassiveincome.com/resources, you'll actually see him there. 24 Sound is the company. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And it's definitely like not, it's not like if one already exists for a productized service that you're thinking of creating, it doesn't mean that you can't come in and also join the party. You know, there's a lot of different ways to stand out and offer different kinds of services or different add-ons or additions to what might already exist out there. But in terms of if somebody is, okay, really thinking about this or really getting excited, is there a way to sort of validate that this is going to work before putting a lot of time, money, and resources into it? I mean, you said Dan started in 7 days and these other ones started over a weekend. I mean, is it as simple as maybe just putting up a landing page, saying what you're thinking of doing, and, you know, just putting up ads for it perhaps?
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. I think that going this route of a productized service in itself is a much faster and more seamless way to launch something, and you can do it very quickly. So in and of itself, you're not investing a whole lot of time early on, but it actually allows you to get an offer in front of clients and actually get paying clients and start delivering the service, you know, as fast as a week. It depends what you're doing, but I've seen plenty of examples when like Dan Norris and a few others who have launched something like this in a week. And you know, it's probable that nothing is going to work out exactly as planned from day one. So, but you're going to get that feedback loop. You're going to get,
yeah, it's huge.
you know, you're going to learn so much just in the very first few times that you deliver the service that then you can go back and start to refine things and tweak. And maybe that's tweaking your pricing, or maybe that's tweaking what's included in the scope of your service, or the way that you talk about it, the way that you position it. These are all things that can happen much faster than if you were to go and build an iPhone app or a software as a service. I mean, these things take months to build and to validate, and not to say that you shouldn't strive for doing that at some point if you want to, but you know, I do see productized services as a faster way to get to that end goal.
Nice. Okay. If I have a productized service, how am I getting paid? I know when you're a freelancer, you might just simply invoice your client, you know, through FreshBooks or something like that. Is it different? I mean, you're collecting a payment up front. What services are you using to do that? How are you able to, or, you know, or how are you billing each month if you're on a sort of recurring retainer? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. And actually, before I get into the actual mechanics of billing, I would say one thing about pricing is with a productized service, and this is really where it starts to differ from a traditional model of like freelancing and billing by the hour. With a productized service, it's offered at a set price and scope. And most of the time that price is actually shown right on the website, you know, however you kind of present it. Mm-hmm. I do recommend showing the price on the website. And what that does is it kind of removes the whole price and negotiation conversation from the table, because it just is what it is. That's what the product is. It costs this much. It delivers this value. It's just like purchasing any other product that you would buy on Amazon or, you know, at the store or whatever. So it removes that negotiation from the table. Whereas before with the freelance model or the hourly model, I would constantly get into these conversations with clients around, okay, well, how many hours is this going to take? What is this going to be? And then once they see the final quote, then they start negotiating around, like, all right, well, what can we trim out of the scope to make this cheaper, and back and forth. And then nothing is in anyone's best interest, right? Like the client is starting to get less and I'm starting to make less, and it's really frustrating. Whereas if you're offering a high value service, positioned as a product, you know, for example, conversion optimization, you know, working with one particular type of client, proven case studies that show that you've been able to increase conversions on average by 20% for your other clients. This is how much it costs. And then the only question from there is whether you, the customer, are the right fit for this service or not. And there are going to be plenty of visitors and customers that are not the right fit, but there are going to be a few that are a perfect fit. And that's who you want to be focusing on.
Nice.
So, you know, getting back to your question about billing, you know, again, there are a number of ways that you can go about it. Typically for the one-off services, really for any service, I like to do some kind of upfront payment, whether that's paying for the first month upfront, or if it's a one-off service, you know, just paying outright for the one-time service to book it on the calendar or whatever it is. You can set that up with a few tools on your website, or you can simply, you know, still send an invoice. I always like to use, going back a few years, I used to use FreshBooks to run invoices. Mm-hmm. But these days, you know, as a productized service, you can set up, it can be as quick and easy as like a PayPal button, or you can set up like a Gumroad, which is typically used for selling like digital download products. But that's also a way to, you know, put a buy now button on your website. There are a few WordPress plugins that allow you to connect Stripe for accepting payments, mm-hmm. which can also be very useful if you're doing subscription like retainer models, having them subscribe via Stripe and have their credit card on file. That makes it a lot easier and very effective. So
very cool. Thanks for that. What are some of the big mistakes that people who are kind of going down this route make? Maybe you've made them yourself, or you've seen other people, some of your students make them. How can we avoid, or what should we avoid?
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, number one, you really want to be focusing on a high value service. And by that, I mean something that clients are really willing to pay for. And you won't necessarily find that right out of the gate. Sometimes it takes a few iterations and refinements, but it does require you to put an offer out there and get it in front of customers and get their feedback. You know, so just really kind of focusing in on that value proposition. You know, the other thing is to not to kind of shy away from doing things manually. I mean, at the core, this is what this is all about, is doing things manually. So just because you look at a service like podcast editing, for instance, right? You look at that and yeah, there is a lot of work that goes into that, taking down the audio, putting it into your audio software and editing out the ums and the ahs and whatnot, you know, putting the compression effects on it and then exporting and uploading to the site. Like there is a lot of manual tasks that go into that. And that can kind of scare us off, like, oh, it's way too much work. But if you go into it thinking, okay, well, I'm just going to do this myself early on. And then with the goal being, I'm going to streamline and systemize and standardize everything to the point that I can start to bring on a team and they can just fit into this system that I've built. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate goal. And yeah, it'll take a little bit of time and plenty of work, but just, you know, don't kind of turn your back on these manual services. You can still kind of scale it up by focusing on these systems.
Nice. Thank you for that. Man, this is a really important conversation. I think a lot of people are going to benefit from this. I mean, perhaps some lives will have been changed as a result of this, because this isn't really something that's talked about very much. So I appreciate you coming on and really owning this space as a sort of somebody who's teaching other people how to do these productized services. And thank you for all you've shared today for free here on the podcast. You're also giving away something else for free, which is really cool. Cheat Sheet, actually. Why don't you talk about that really quick? For those of you listening, you can find that at smartpassiveincome.com/productize.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just really excited to connect with your audience here. So I did put together a special cheat sheet just for the SPI audience here. And what this is, it's 10 specific changes that you can start making today. Some are kind of mindset stuff and some are really more actionable things that you can start working on to begin productizing what you do. And to just really get those wheels turning and kind of get rolling on this stuff. So, it's about 3 or 4 pages long and it's kind of a guide.
Yeah. That cheat sheet again can be found at smartpassiveincome.com/productize. And I have already actually talked about you, Brian, to a few of my audience members who I saw at a recent convention, and they were really excited about what you had to offer. They actually wanted to get into your course right away, and I wanted to have them wait because I told them that you said you were going to give us a special deal. So if anybody is interested, whether it's now or you go through the cheat sheet and you still want more, I mean, I feel like a lot of people could take the information on this podcast and already get started, which is great. But if you're looking for more, Brian is offering a course as well. It's called Productize, and there's a discount code. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the course at this point, we've had a couple hundred students go through it. Been getting some really great feedback. And yes, so I am offering just for the SPI audience right now, if you use the offer code SPI2015, you can get 25% off any of the packages for Productize. And that's good now through the end of this year, 2015.
That's cool, man. Thanks for doing that. And again, like I said, I mean, I feel like a lot of people can take the information here already and run with it. But I mean, you have a full-blown course on this stuff. And, you know, it seems like there's a lot more to it, too. So go ahead and check that out. The coupon code again is SPI2015. Brian, if people just want to learn more about you, I mean, where can we find you?
Yeah. So my site is castjam.com. That's where I write about this stuff. I mentioned the free cheat sheet and that's just for SPI, but I also have a free email crash course about productizing there. And the Productize course is at castjam.com/productize. I'm castjam on Twitter. And if anyone has any questions or anything and wants to reach out, you can always reach me at brian@castjam.com.
That's CASJAM, castjam.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brian. This has been fantastic. Man, this is going to be awesome. So just thanks so much. And we'll see how everybody goes with your information.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. This was great.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Brian Castle from Productize, or again, casjam.com. As always, this is episode 158, so you can download and get the show notes and the transcript over at smartpassiveincome.com/session158. And if you're interested in Brian's course on productizing your service-based business, go ahead and go to smartpassiveincome.com/productize. And actually, you'll go ahead and get your SPI cheat sheet there, which will give you 10 small changes that you can make today to productize what you do. And then he's also offering a cool 25% discount for the rest of 2015. Just use SPI 2015 as a discount if you're going to get any of his things. But you can just download the cheat sheet for free again at smartpassiveincome.com/productize. That's product with I-Z-E at the end. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/productize. Now, I would also like to thank today's sponsors. The first one is audiobooks.com, which is an awesome company that I use to listen to audiobooks myself. You can get started with a 30-day free trial today and get a credit for one free book. Beyond that, if you sign up through audiobooks.com/SPI, you're going to get my book, Let Go, the audio version of that, only available through audiobooks.com there for free as well. That's in addition to that one free book out of the 60,000 audiobook titles that they have. And they also have 2,000 audiobooks for free that you can get and download and listen to right now. And this is really cool. If you sign up, you're going to be entered into a drawing. And every week, Audiobooks is giving away a 3-month subscription to audiobooks.com. So go ahead and start your free trial today. Go to audiobooks.com/SPI, download Let Go for free, get your free book for free, and you'll also be entered to win a 3-month subscription to audiobooks.com as well. Go ahead and check it out, audiobooks.com/SPI.
I hope you've been enjoying the free podcast content here. I'm really excited because it's one of my favorite things to do, and I know a lot of you have already taken action from the content that you've listened to on the podcast. And if that's you, congratulations. Just keep going, please. It's one of my favorite things to see. But I also know a lot of you, and a lot of you have been telling me that you've been wanting more. You've been wanting additional information, some accountability, some hand-holding along the way. And so depending on what it is that you're looking for, what I would recommend is actually go to smartpassiveincome.com/courses. You'll see the courses that I'm offering there that are paid courses, but they're there to help walk you through certain processes. Depending on what problem you have or what issue or what thing you're trying to solve, go there, check it out. You can see if there's a course available for you and where you're at in your business right now, whether you're just getting started and you just want to make sure you have all the right things in place before you actually devote a lot of time and effort into something. There's a course for you there. For those of you looking to get started with a podcast, there's stuff for you there. And there's going to be more courses there in the future. And how do I come up with those ideas for the courses? They come directly from you. So thank you for all telling me how I can help you better. And if you have ideas for more courses that I can create for you, just hit me up on Twitter at Pat Flynn. Let me know, or use my contact page on smartpassiveincome.com. But again, check out and see what's available. smartpassiveincome.com/courses. That will be continually added to over time, so check it out.
Thanks again so much. I really appreciate you listening in. And next week in episode 159, you're going to hear somebody who has helped a previous guest on the show make a lot more money through their email list. And so we're going to have this person on to tell us how we can just increase the sales with our autoresponder series even more and all the best practices for email marketing as well. Thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you next week. And make sure to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. It's really helpful. Thanks and take care.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen. Another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuchman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about. There's lots of names you'll surely recognize on the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show, and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.